College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Today we're going to continue in our discussion of the energy structure of the alphabet, and we're going to deal with the letter Samech. Last time we discussed the letter Ayin and also Pei. Today we're going to do with the Samech. Samech's turn. If you look at it, it appears as a small circle. By the way, this is one of the two letters that is totally closed. The Samech and the final Mem, which we will get to next week or the week after, are the two letters that are totally closed, enclosed. The Samech is a circle and the final Mem is a square. So what does this mean? What does the Zohar say about the letters Samech? Because the Samech is really convinced that the world should have been created with its energy, thought, intelligence. It says, Nichnasa ot Samech, amra lefanav ribon ha'olamim, tov lefanecha livro vi et ha'olam, ki yesh bi smicha lenoflim, shekatuv somech Hashem lechol hanoflim, amar la, Mishum ze atzricha limkomech, ve'al tazuzi mimenu, she'im at yotzeit mimkomech, she'bemila samech elu hanoflim mah yehye na'alehem, me'achar she'hem smuchim alayich miyad yatza milfanav. That understood?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. It said very simple. The Samech entered before the Holy One, blessed be He, and said, O Master of the Universe, create the world with my energy intelligence, because within me there is smicha lenoflim, I somech, I support those who are fallen. As it is said, somech, the Lord supports all those who are fallen. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to the letter Samech, for that reason alone, you should go back to your place. And don't move from it. Because if you come out from your place with the word Samech, all those who fell, what will happen to them after they are smuchim, another word for that is connected or supported by you. What will be with them? Miyad yatsa, he went right back. So what now? What do we get from this logically? The letter Samech appeared before the Lord and said to him, Master of the Universe, it's proper for the world to be created with me, with my support. I'm representative of the word Somech, smicha, support. And I am a support for those who are fallen. Now we know that the letter Samech belongs to the Sfira of Tiferet. Remember we were working our way up the Sephiriotic table, starting down in... This letter is already up in Tiferet. So if you got Keter, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, over here, it's high up already. It's also the harmonizing aspect, the synthesizing aspect between positive and negative, between sharing and receiving. It creates the balance, central column. And this means that after you have the right column and the left column, they still can't stand by themselves. Two legs don't stand by themselves. The only way they can stand by themselves is if there would be a balance for them. Because if you have only a right and left column, they're going to fall apart sooner or later. You know, you can balance it only so long and it's going to fall over. It's like you have an easel and stand on two legs, right? It doesn't work. It'll eventually fall. And what is needed is a third leg. That's called central column. That is balance. The moment you add a third leg, the entire structure will stand on its own. So the Samech is built as a circle. How does it look like that? It's a circle. And what is central column? It is circuitry. Right? We call it a circuit. We have here a circle of a desire to receive for the sake of sharing. That's what that Samech represents. And what can be better than this to start the world? Seems to be perfect. And on this, not on this, but we also know that in the creation of the universe, everything was there. The Torah, all the cassettes were already there, all the scenarios. And along comes Samech and says to God, I'm the most powerful place. Now there's a psalm that is recited three times daily, Psalm 145. And this psalm is written in alphabetical order. from Aleph to Taf, from A to the end, and A to Z in English, you know. And the exception is the Nun, which we will get next hour. Because of the verse, Nefila lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael, which means, fallen not to rise again, O Virgin of Israel. It alludes to the falling of Israel. So they took it out of the, they didn't use a sentence with that letter because they didn't want the energy of that letter from that sentence to be applied to this most positive psalm. And we don't know any reference to falling within this psalm, so we're told that anyone who connects to this psalm three times daily is assured of being an inheritor of the world to come. He'd be connected to the 99% instead of to the 1%, to the world order of order rather than to the world of chaos. So that's a powerful psalm.
Psalm 135.
45. Well, Psalm 145. And now comes this letter Samach in this psalm, and the verse says, Someh Hashem lechol anoflim. Yudkei Vovkei, the tetragrammaton, the four Hebrew-lettered name of God, the energy intelligence of the light, supports whoever falls. So along comes the Samach and says, if I am supporting whoever falls, then everyone's going to make it. Therefore, the world should be created with me. And the Lord responded, that's why you're needed in your place. Go back to your place. Don't move from your place. Because if you're going to move from your place, if you remove the letter Samach from Samach, meaning from Samach, Samach Mem Chaf, which spells Mach, Mach means falls. If you write out Samach into the letters, like if you wrote the word C, S-E-E, or but if the C, so it would be C-E-E, right? Here, if you write the word Samach, it would be Samach, Mem, Chaf, Samech, Mach. If you take the Samach out of Samech, you're left with Mach, which means to fall. It's like removing one leg from the easel. The easel will fall. If you, Samach, come out of your place, if you take yourself out of the place, you're left with Mach. You got the illusion. What happens if you remove the neutron from the atom? It collapses. What happens if you remove the filament from the light bulb? It's going to short circuit. Right? And the same applies for those who have separate seating in the shul. You understand, there be people who have separate seating in their synagogues. They do so with a mechitza, with a separation. They do so because they believe that the male, which is positive energy, and the female, which is female energy, shouldn't come and touch each other together because that will create a short circuit. You need the filament. And they say that that mechitza, that separation, is that filament. Okay? Because the moment you and they believe the shul would destroy itself, because the moment you take out the filament, everything falls apart. And that's why the letter said, the light said, it is better that you don't remove yourself from your place, because the whole world leans upon you, it depends upon you, it relies upon central column. And so the Samach immediately left the presence of the Creator. That's what it says in the Zohar. So what does it all mean? And then, by the way, the Zohar goes on to explain that the Samach is the Sphira of Tiferet, of Zihanpin, which we talked about, what I said a moment ago. And Tiferet is the central column of the upper triangle, and this is also connected to the Sphira of Bina. Okay, let's understand every Sphira is divided into how many Sphirot?
10.
That is correct. Every Sphira is divided into 10. So if you've got Keter, right? You've got Keter of Keter, you've got Keter of Chochma, you've got Keter of Bina, you've got Keter of Chesed, you've got Keter of Gevura, you've got Keter of Tiferet. If you get to Chochma, you've got Chochma of Keter, Chochma of Chochma, Chochma of Gevura, Chochma of Chesed, Chochma of Gevura, Chochma of Tiferet. Got it? So every one has 10 emanations. Or you can condense them to 5. How? Keter, Chochma, Bina, and Zi'iranpin encompasses Chesed Gvura Tiferet Netzachot Yisod and Malchut. So how many Sfirot are there in Zi'iranpin? 6. How come? Not only are there 6, but that each have a different name. Inside of Keter we have Keter of Keter and Chochma of Keter and Bina of Keter, and Chesed of Keter, and Gevura of Keter, and Tiferes of Keter, and Netzach of Keter, and Hod of Keter, and Yesod of Keter, and Malchut of Keter. Inside of Chochmah you have Keter of Chochmah, Chochmah of Chochmah, and so on and so forth. It continues all the way down the Sephiriotic ladder. Why? And in Zeiron Pin, the energies are a little bit different, and thereby they have different names. Instead of calling it Keter, it's now called Chesed, because the head of the six is those Chesed. Instead of calling it Chochmah, we call it Gevura. Instead of calling it Bina, we call it Tiferet. Instead of calling it Zeiron Pin, we call it Netzach. Instead of calling it Malchut, we call it Hod. So when you speak of Malchut of Zeiron Pin, we call it Hod. And Yesod is inclusive of all of them together. It gathers all the energies and funnels them into Malchut. And remember, every time you use the number 7, you're referring to Zeiron Pin and Malchut. Zeiron Pin and Malchut. Got it? But the real name is Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zeiron Pin, and Malchut of Zeiron Pin. That's just another way of manifesting itself, and therefore instead of saying Keter of Zeiron Pin, you say Chesed. Instead of saying Chochmah of Zeiron Pin, you say Gevurah. And therefore, Tiferet of Zeiron Pin is really Bina. And that's why the Zohar says that Tiferet of Zeiron Pin is Bina, which refers to the Samech. You mixed up already. Can't do it without a board. And the Zohar says that Bina is divided into two, the upper and lower, the upper side of the Samech and the lower side of the Mem. But we'll just let that go. Basically, what are they trying to say? They're trying to say that in our world, not at all times is everything equal. There are times when there is happiness in the world, and that's easy to connect to. It's easy to communicate. It's easy to love other people. It's easy to be spiritual. It's easy to be successful in business. It's as if everything runs easily for everyone. There are times like this, and there are times when things don't run on an even keel. So what does it mean? When does everything go well? When the people down below, and especially the spiritual people, the tzaddikim, the righteous people, when these people work hard to connect to the light, then they place all the sfirot in alignment, and the energy flows into the universe with the result that it's easy for everybody to be spiritual. It's easy for everybody to be successful. It's easy for everybody to be connected, whatever you want to call it. We're told, by the way, in the Zohar and by Rabbi Isaac Luria, he said that in the time of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, even the children discussed the secrets of Kabbalah. And that was a common occurrence in the time of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the second century. There was such spirituality in the world because the righteous people whose prayers are believed to create a sefirot on all levels, that light was flowing freely, so that even those who were not spiritual were gaining the benefit at the end of the day. And this also they found it easy to connect to the light because everything was fixed. There's a course that I don't give. I used to give it, but it's much too difficult. It's a course called the 10 Illuminations. It was written by Rabbi Ashlag. And there they learned that Zeiron Pin is that level of the vessel where the vessel doesn't want to have anything, just to share. And you're a vessel which just wants to share. When you are a vessel that just wants to share, you're nothing. You have nothing. Not you're nothing, you have nothing. The only time that Zeiron Pin is full is when Malchut is restricting and wants to connect to higher levels. Then Malchut draws the light through Zeiron Pin. And if this situation doesn't exist, then Zeiron Pin will be empty. And then there will be 60 empty sefirot. Because each one, remember, has 10. So basically, what the Zohar is saying is that everything really depends upon us. What happens in the celestial universe depends upon what happens in Malchut. Who's in control? Who rules the connection? Who's in control of the connection? We are. We do. So when there's a separation and everybody is disconnected, no one gets any light. And without any light, we just die. So there'll be no chance to change ourselves, no chance to learn, no chance to improve. Even if we just cut off and doze, you know, then there's no chance to do things better. So that's basically the story. Samach, therefore, is the safety net. That means that the worst that can happen would still not be too bad. What I'm trying to say is that the Samach is here to make sure that this whole world won't collapse. We'll go to the next letter. And the next letter is Nun. Nun is the end sound. We talked about it a moment ago, and I give you out now both the regular letter and the final letter. So as I said a moment ago, everybody knows the story about the Nun, because we talked to you about it already. It has to do with Pauling, and it's not a good letter. It has, you know, fallen is the children of Israel, fallen not to rise again. It could be read, Nafla lo tosif, kum betulat Yisrael. It could be fallen, but rise, the Virgin of Israel. So it could be looked at two ways. It could be read two ways in Hebrew. But if you say that prayer, Psalm 145, three times a day, you're assured of an entrance into the world to come, into the endless. Where is this endless? Where is this world of order? Where is this world of spirituality? Where is the world of Mashiach, Messiahship, the world of spiritual connection to the Tree of Life, to the Eitz HaChayim? Where is it? According to the Zohar, it's right here now. How far is it from us? Not far at all. It's as far as the thickness of our klipa, of our veil. That's how far it is. You understand? So there's another verse which says, V'hayayim bekolot tishma'u, and it will come to pass that if you will listen to him, capital H, if you listen to the light, that is to say, that if you connect to the light, when? Now, today, when is Mashiach coming? When is the Messiah coming? When is the redemption going to come? Today. And that's why I have to believe that the Messiah is coming at any time, any day, every day, even today, at any moment. So why isn't it coming? Because we're divided from it. He's here, but we're divided from it by the thickness of our klipa. Now, if I live in a manner in which when a friend tells me or you he's going to go on vacation to Acapulco and he's going first class all the way, and I was going to go with two friends but they're sick and now I have two free tickets and they're for you, are you going to come with me in 2 days? The first reaction could be, sure, I'm great, I'm coming. But the second reaction could be, oh, you know, I have a job, who's going to take care of the kids, and etc. There's someone who, you know, someone will say that couldn't possibly go because they have so many responsibilities. Depends how you look at it. And so you call your wife and you say, hey, look, we just got this offer, but we can't go because we have so many things to do. So the wife responds, what do you mean we can't do it? Let's sit down and write down whatever we need to do and let's see whether in the next 24 hours we can accomplish what we have to do. And then you make the list and you work on it, and sure enough, in a day you fix up everything you had to do, you're ready to go to Acapulco. So then why can't you go every day to Acapulco? All you got to do is fix it up. Why can't you live in this manner? To push and work so hard that in one day you can accomplish that which usually takes you 2 weeks to accomplish. Why can't you do that all the time? According to Kabbalah, we know that we all have to make our tikkun. So when should I make, you know what that means, our correction, you know, our soul correction. So when should I do it? I know I got to complete my tikkun before the Messiah comes. When's the Messiah coming? Who knows? But I know wherever it is, I got to finish my tikkun first. So you know what? I have to do my tikkun today. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. But if you knew that the Mashiach were coming this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow, then you'd make your tikkun immediately, wouldn't you? And that's why we're told that the Mashiach could come at any moment. And that's why the Talmud tells us that a person is supposed to repent a moment before he dies. Why? Do you know when you're going to die? Therefore, you should repent every day of your life. And that's why we read in the book of Echa, Lamentations, which is supposed to be written on a scroll, but it's never read in the scroll. You know why? Because the Mashiach comes, if he comes, we would not have to read the book of Echa. And therefore, it's a waste of time to write it on a scroll, say some sages. But how many of us live with this kind of consciousness that tomorrow it could all be over? And therefore, we got to complete our work today. And so when we come to the Psalm 145 prayer, which means happiness, Ashrei means happiness, since this prayer is written in alphabetical order, so when we say this prayer, we connect to order. We connect to the tree of life. We connect to the tree of order. We connect to the world to come. You mean to tell me that we cannot live in this physical world and feel as if we were in the world to come? Why not? Sure we can. I know that there are those people who are spiritual, and even those who are not spiritual, who have moments in their lives when they feel so great and have so much fulfillment in their lives that we don't have to teach you anything. Ever come to you like that? You ever feel that way in your life? Once in a while? Once, maybe? Yeah. Let's say you come to the synagogue or to your church, somewhere, someplace which moves you. You have learned the spiritual way. Somehow on Rosh Hashanah, during the services, you make the connection and you feel wonderful. And all that energy fills you up and there's no space for anything else. How do you feel? You feel great, right? It's wonderful. You had a great time. You feel the Mashiach is here now. And if this can happen for 2 days or for 1 day, still, why can't it happen all the time? Why can't it occur for 365 days a year? Why? What prevents it from happening all the time? You know what? We forget. Stan has his game. You know who Stan is, don't you? Put an A after the S. If that's his spiel, it's his trick. He knows how to remove us from the tree of life consciousness. He's going to seduce us just as he did in this following story. One day, the Rabbi Isaac Luria said to his students, you know what? This Shabbat, the Messiah is coming. All you got to do is celebrate the Shabbat. So everyone closed up into this long little area, and they had a Torah with them, and they observed the Friday evening service, and everything was wonderful. The devoted students were there with their families, and all of the Shabbat they were singing, and they were meditating, and they were connecting, and they were praying, and their whole consciousness was one of a desire to receive for the sake of sharing, and they were caring for everyone else. And Rabbi Isaac Luria warned them that if they should be able to achieve this unity for one entire Shabbat, then at the end, the Shabbat, the Messiah would be here. So everybody was very careful. They were dealing with each other with a great deal of care. These were great sages. They understood. Everyone was on a high spiritual path. And all that time, they were busy and concentrating on sharing with each other, with the result that this was a beautiful, positive energy that was created. It was within and around them, and they all felt it. And they were coming to the end of Shabbat, and all of a sudden they heard some screams from outside, and they saw that two kids were fighting with each other. And before you knew it, the parents got involved, and there was a whole big hullabaloo, even louder. And, you know, and the mothers returned, and they said to the other woman, said this, and this woman said, the other woman said that, and the other woman said this. A complete balagan, a complete chaos. And then the fathers became enmeshed in the argument. And before you knew it, the Shabbat was over. And all the students looked at Rabbi Isaac Luria and they asked, well, where's the Mashiach? And he said, you remember the argument between the children and the mothers and the fathers? You missed the opportunity. A few days later, he became ill and died. And that was it. That's according to the story. He did his job. He tried, and the generation wasn't ready, but it was like the Mashiach was already there. And along comes Mr. Stan, just tried one more time, and he succeeded. So remember how far the Mashiach is from us. Just today, if we so decide. The whole point is that we have to trust. And the consciousness we must keep is the knowledge that we have to change right now. Can we do it within an hour? Of course we can. So why don't we do it? Because we're not certain that it's possible. We're too tired. We're too exhausted. It's as if you're in a marathon and you're just so tired and bewildered, you're not even aware. You're just an inch from the finish line. And all you need to do is give yourself one more push. And if you do it, you're going to get over the front of the shuttle. You'll win the race, but you just give up. And the same applies to us with our lives. So when we create order in our lives by using the sequences of Psalm 145, we're told that we can have a bit of the world to come in our lives. Now, of course, this does not apply to all people who say the Ashrei three times daily, because there are a lot of them. We all know people who say this prayer three times a day, and they're not kind people to anybody. They're not nice people. They feel no lack. They're filled with compassion and love for others. Nothing. And everything goes their way. How come? We don't know. But in order for that to work, you need the correct consciousness. You see, the Ashrei, there's also another verse that says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. You mean to tell me there are people who's going to call on God not truthfully? You mean to tell me that it's possible to do this, to call upon God lyingly? But what we're saying is that this calling must be accomplished or accompanied with the right consciousness, with the right intention, with the right understanding. And that's why in the prayer is also found the verse, he opens his hand and satisfies every living thing with favor. And the word poteach et yadecha, there's a meditation of pei alaf yud chet taf chaf and samach alaf lamed. Those 3, 6, 9 letters put together, which are sequences of energy for financial support. We do that, and when we do that, sometimes we stop the prayer in the middle, and we say those three threes, and we add, may we receive everything in the world so that we can share it. That's the whole purpose of it, receiving. If a person knows he's going to have a financial source coming to him every day, and the moment you think about it, how do you feel? Feel pretty good, huh? Relief. Now I can do the things that I always wanted to do. But what about those people who have so much money they do not know how to waste it? They have no hope of ever spending it all. They leave $70 million to their kids because no matter how much they spend, it only eats up, only continues going on interest more higher and higher. They can't get rid of it. There are some people like this. But are they happy? No. There's some who are not happy because Stan gives them another problem. Sometimes Stan bribes us. How? He gives us something that we think we want, and he gives it to us in a way which appears to us as if everything is okay. But in reality, nothing is okay. Give you a beautiful income, he gives you a beautiful car, and everyone who looks at you feels like you have everything. And then Stan looks at you and says, here's the bill. For all this, you got to pay. The bill is you're connected to the light, and that is because you believe you have everything. If you feel you have everything, then do you have any desire to connect to the light? If you've got everything, you have no desire. You hang around all day and do nothing, you know, you don't even think anything's missing. My God, I've got everything. I'm supposed to be happy. Why am I not happy? All my life, I'm waiting for all my life for this moment, and now I have it, and I'm not happy. What about all those people who wait a lifetime to retire? And the moment they retire, they're depressed. Now, if the person was always sour and negative, and now where he retires, he's now going to become happy. Chances are close to none. But if the person was a happy person, appreciated everything he had during his life, chances are he'll be happy when he retires. You know why? Because the moment you're not waiting for something, the moment you are waiting something to make you happy, who's in control? The something is in control. If the something is in control, then you are not in the light. Right? So then understand that the moment you receive that something that you will say, now I need that to make me happy, and all your life you are not satisfied because there is always that something else that's in control, and the moment that something else is in control, then I'm the effect and not the cause. So in the Ashrei, the letter Nun is missing. There's no sentence that begins with the letter Nun because the Nun represents falling. Nun connects to failing. And when we spoke about the Samach an hour ago, we were informed that the Samach represents support. But in the Ashrei, you also find Somech Noflim. He supports those who fall. So now we go into the Zohar and see what happens. The Nun appeared to before God and said, Nichnesa ot Nun amra lefanav ribon ha'olav tov lefanecha livro vi et ha'olam. The Nun appeared before God and said, Master of the universe, it would be best that you create the world with me. If the Nun is such a negative letter, then how could it have such arrogance, such chutzpah, to come before God and ask him to create the world with her? How dare she? She says, Shebi katuv nora tihilot. V'chein b'tihila shel tzadikim katuv na'ava tihila. There are two expressions that are very beautiful. One is nora tihilot, starts with an revered in praises, and the other is na'ava tihila, is also used, which means beauty of praise. Wouldn't it be nice to create the world with this, with the letter Nun, with this beauty of praise? All right? Rabbalah, God said to her, Nun shuvi limkomech. Nun, you go back to your place. Ki bishvilech chazra ha'ot samach limkoma v'heyes mucha aleha. Because of you, the samach had to return to his place, and you should be close to the samach. Klomar, that is to say, Hanun reshuma b'mila nefila. Because the nun is found in the word falling, and the samach, shehasamech shehu sod somech Hashem lechol anuflim, for the samach contains the secret of the verse that God supports all those who fall. And because of the nun, the samach has to remain in its place to assure that the world will not fall. And you are the one that is falling, so you go and stay with the samach. So the nun had no argument and it goes back to his place. So how could the nun have no argument? And furthermore, how could the nun have thought that she could be the channel of the creation? If the nun represents falling, if the nun represents collapsing and losing it, how could she have ever imagined that the world would have been created through her? After all, what is this all about? God wanted to choose that energy force that would be supportive and strong enough so that we could all attain our ultimate goal. And that's to get out of here. That's our ultimate goal. Get back to the endless. We don't want to stay here. He needed a letter. He needed a letter that had such power that it could sustain this world until that time that we would be able to make our tikkun and get out of here. So therefore, how to manifest falling is not a problem. Everybody knows how to do that. We all do that from time to time. It's like I say, you know, give me a reason not to come to shul. I don't have to give you a reason not to come to the synagogue. You got your own reasons. I don't have to convince you not to come. You know, nobody has to learn how to do that. There is not one psychiatrist that comes up with a device to teach us how to become depressed. Right? We do it very well all on our own. There's no one who needs to teach us how to lose our business. Many of us know exactly how to do this all by ourselves. Nobody needs to teach us how to lose our family or our health. Of course, we might have lots of friends who teach us how to do it. They're the ones who thwart us with doubt, safek, and they know how to upset us. We have many people who give us this kind of support, right? But after the nun saw that the samach was rejected, because when do we use the letter samach? Only in the time of smallness. What does smallness mean? When you fall from the heights, you need the samach to bring you up. It supports those who fall. The samach is the support. It's the light of mercy. It's the energy of the light of mercy which supports those who fall. The samach gives the person the feeling that it's not so bad. You can manage. You can continue. And after a while, you forget the feeling of falling and the bitter taste of the loss. And you fall into the same trap once again. And you say, well, why can't they do it again? Think of the woman who gives birth. Most women during labor swear that they're never going to do it again. You know? And that's why during the time of the temple, women had to bring a sin offering after that. That was a sin. And the assumption is that all women swear and that they would not have another child. Did you do that? Well, did you ever think about it? Not having another child? But a few months later, they forget all about the pain. And if not totally, then enough to allow them to have another child. And who allows this to happen? The samach makes you feel that the pain is not that bad. When does she remember? When the contractions occur the second time. Oh yeah, I remember this. So therefore, the nun it's to itself, that is what qualified to have the world created through it. Why? Because the nun has all the power of the samach, and also it has the power of mochin de gadlut, the consciousness of greatness. Now we should know that there are two kinds of consciousness. There is mochin de katnut, small consciousness. A child until his bar mitzvah is called small. Why? Because he cannot connect to the quantum. Therefore he's small. Or what we talked about last hour. You know, about until a certain age. Desire to receive for oneself. It means narrow-minded. Can't share with the quantum. He cannot bring light to the quantum. They have no choice. They're born with it. They have no control over this. And so whatever good they do, it's a kind of smallness because they could forget this any time. A child remains a child no matter how spiritual. One moment he can speak words of wisdom and at the next moment he runs after toys. And when an adult acts in this manner, then he's a child as well. And we know people like that. And that's called mochin de katnut, small consciousness. Not being able to connect to the big picture. After the bar mitzvah, we say in katnut a great deal of time. Sometimes we're in the light and sometimes we lose it. But afterwards, we have the opportunity to be in the light more. So what we are saying is that the samach is connected to mochin de katnut. It means that when a person is small, he's like a child. He's not responsible. He can play at being happy. He can play, he can be happy with the small things in life, not realizing that his life is in the trash bin. But the nun is also connected to mochin de gadlut, the large consciousness. There is this energy, intelligence that is connected to the physical brain and the soul. Perhaps we call it the mind. So the mochin is the mind or the brain, the consciousness. So if you have a small mochin, a small consciousness, or a small brain, then whatever comes from the soul will be little thinking. The result is that he thinks small. If a person thinks big, if he can restrict, if he knows he has responsibility and doesn't only worry about me all the time, and he sees the whole picture, at that moment he has mochin de gadlut. He has a consciousness of greatness. The nun is the sfira of gevura of Zeir Anpin. Remember the samach was tiferet. Nun is gevura. Gevura is left column of Zeir Anpin. And because it is all sweetened with the mercy of Bina, that is called nun sha'arei Bina, nun which are the gates of Bina. And that's why the Zeir Anpin is called revered in praises. Because what is Tehillah? What is praise? Tehillah is a code name for Bina. Don't have to remember that. It's just something that I'm throwing out. When we get to this, I don't do this anymore. Because you don't have the beginning courses, you don't know what I'm talking about. So the Neith Nun was thinking that if a person would stay awake at all times, he definitely would make his tikkun quickly. He could go directly to the point. That's why the nun is also its astrological sign of Scorpio. Nothing will ever make them forget. They go straight to the point. The nun is pushing all the time. So what's the problem? If the Scorpio falls, who can get him out of there? Comes the Samach, the Sagittarius. Somech Noflim can get him up. He who raises up those who are fallen. Come on, let's get our act together. We can go on. And the nun is a double-edged sword. The only way a Scorpio can get out of his trouble is a samach. He needs someone to pull him out. He needs, that's the antidote to the nun, is the samach. So God said to the nun, it's too dangerous for you. It's much too dangerous for me to create the world with you. On the one hand, you're very strong, but on the other hand, you still need something of a support system. So go and hide and wait for your time. And that is how the nun departed from the stage of history.
You have two?
Yeah, one is the one that's the long one is the final nun that occurs when the nun is written at the end of a word.
Right.
And that concludes our lecture for today.